Hello, everybody. Well, as you can probably tell, I'm still not quite 100%, but thankfully, Dave, Jacob, and Charles got together and did their own co-host's version this week. So thanks, guys, and I hope you enjoy it.
Second time now, and we're taking over. We have the Duke CT himself, Charles.
Yo, yo.
And, of course, we got Jacob, who's just kind of here.
Wait, what do you mean by kind of here?
Yeah, you're here. Listen, okay, let's get this shit straightened out right now. We're not going to have a Chris in this goddamn podcast, okay? I mean, I'm not the kind of guy who likes to necessarily stir shit, but... Oh, who am I kidding? I love to stir shit.
But I interrupt people a lot.
Yeah, none of that shit here. Anyway, all kidding aside, we're going to be doing things a little differently than what you normally hear on the Bogosity podcast. Last time we had one of these co-host takeovers, there was a comment in the original video, and I can't be asked to go find it right away, but the guy said we sounded like drunks.
Hey, what is he talking about?
So let me just open my bottle of whiskey, and we're going to get all crazy up it. All kidding aside, we don't have as much news to talk about this week. This was kind of planned at the last minute, and we're just going to get started. So anyway, Jacob, some crazy-ass shit's going down in Venezuela, huh?
Yes, you say that a game has changed in Venezuela last night.
Well, it wasn't last night, it was a couple nights ago.
Okay, well, that's what the news heading said.
Yeah, well, the news heading is wrong.
I know. Okay, so...
Shane is going to kill us, just for the record.
Oh, well, who wants to live forever?
I think he actually enjoyed the last one.
Listen, this is either going to be the best thing ever or the worst thing ever.
No in-betweens here, ladies and gentlemen.
We're just going to run with it. We're gonna do this Bill O'Reilly style. Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Yeah. So throughout the night, panicked people told their stories of state-sponsored paramilitaries on motorcycles roaming middle-class neighborhoods, shooting people, and storming into apartment buildings, shooting at anyone who seemed like he might be protesting.
Oh, gee, sounds like fun in socialism town.
So yeah, people continue to be arrested merely for protesting, and long-established local human rights NGO makes an urgent plea for an investigation into widespread reports of torture of detainees. There are now dozens of serious human rights abuses, National Guardsmen shooting tear gas canisters directly into residential buildings, and we have videos of soldiers shooting civilians on the streets.
Now, here's the thing. If you recall, I don't remember if it was late last year or early this year, but the people of Venezuela originally voted for the socialist government to be out of power. And then they basically finagled with the law to keep themselves there.
Yeah. And you know, this is a country that tells you, if you're hungry, just start frying rocks. And I'm like, seriously? And people want to say socialism is a good thing.
Well, that's what kills me. They talk about European socialism as like, oh yeah, that's where it is, you know. That's where it's at. That's what turns me on. But the reality is, Scandinavian socialism isn't even really socialism. They're getting away from that. But yet, meanwhile, you have countries like Venezuela that have gone full-blown socialism, almost to the point of communism. And these countries are absolute hellholes to live in. And, of course, they're not going to look at these. They're not going to look at these countries and say, hey, maybe this shit doesn't work. No, they're going to look at the stuff that looks mildly successful, even if it doesn't exactly fit the actual image of what socialism really is, and they're going to say, hey, let's spread this around everywhere, and then some old bastard like Bernie Sanders is going to be like, I want democratic socialism, even though I'm never going to explain what it really is, just understand that it's a huge difference.
Feels before reals.
Yes, it's about feelings instead of facts.
Instead of being under the boot of government, you're under the boot of government that's rainbow-colored.
You know, I look at this story, and I just, like, I smirk a little bit because people are like, well, I could just have the proof that saying, see, this is what socialism gets you in Venezuela. And they're all like, well, you know, this, that, and the other. You know, they did it wrong or anything else. So no true Scotsman stuff comes in full blast.
That's not real socialism. That's ignorant. That's ignorant blanket.
Oh, gosh.
Sad thing about this is the only article on this event. It's not even... It's more like a blog than an article. Like, none of the major news sites are covering this. Or have covered this at this time.
Yeah. They're not going to talk about this stuff because, again, it's not sexy. It's not the main big story. It's something that a lot of people, you know, seem to like, we'll talk about it later. No, this is big, important, world-changing stuff. I mean, this is something that these people are tired of, the socialism. They're tired of it. And this is what people want. I mean, this should be like, hey, we want more freedom, which is a good thing. Instead, the people, this is a what, you know, a slowly what a dictator is, you know, this is what dictatorships, you know, start up as. So why don't we get more people look upon this? Where is the look and stuff? Maybe, I don't know. I don't want to go like, oh, it's a race thing, but sometimes I feel like it is, you know? I feel like, you know, well, you know, it's, they're brown people, so they don't really count.
I think it has less to do with that and more to do with the fact that they don't cover this like they would cover, say, how horrible it is in North Korea, because let's face it, they don't have a guy like Kim Jong-un that's in the forefront of the discussion. So they can't just point to him and say, oh, he's the reason why this is all fucked up. This, you have to just blame socialism. And nobody wants to do that.
This is the reason right here. There's no debate here. There's no shades of gray here. This is it. This is as black as white as you can possibly make it. The people of Venezuela are suffering because of these things. The people who have left Venezuela are telling people that this is the reason why. And it's hilarious that these actors, you know, the Sean Penns and the Danny Glovers of the world are so like, man, I love, you know, Hugo Chavez. But yet, you know, if they were living in somewhere like Hugo Chavez, you know, the former president of Venezuela, they wouldn't have reached anywhere near that success. Not at all.
Well, it's like when Michael Moore, 10 years ago, went to Cuba to show how great socialized healthcare is. And, of course, he was fucking led by a leash to all the nice hospitals where the politicians and celebrities get to go. Meanwhile, John Stossel went to Cuba and showed the real hospitals that the Cuban people have to deal with, and they were rank disgusting. Like cockroaches, smears on walls, absolutely inhumane conditions. That's what it comes down to. It's kind of like the difference between being in Mexico, the resort, and being in Mexico, the rest of the country.
Makes you wonder who the real sicko is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, screw socialism and anyone who actually believes that this thing is the perfect government. Well, here's your proof.
Oh, hold on. Outdoor cat's gone inside.
Yeah, I think the cat agrees with me that Venezuela is the proof that socialism doesn't work.
The reality of it is, socialists love to say that, oh, we've never had real socialism, even though every time socialism has been tried, it fails miserably, and what happens is the politically connected elite make off like bandits while the rest of the people starve. Meanwhile, they'll then say to libertarians, oh, well, libertarianism has never been tried, so it's too dangerous. Come on now. They're full of shit at this point. This is absolute evidence that this shit does not work. How many more excuses can these people make?
Say, if you're tired of the promos in this podcast, well, the patrons got it early and with no ads or promos. Just go to patreon.bogosity.tv and donate at any level.
Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers, backup sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.bogosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.bogosity.tv and get LastPass now.
Our next story involves the New York Times, and Charles, take it away.
Ah, the New York Times, the lovable New York Times, and this story is about, well, the porn industry, you know, the thing that takes over 80 to 95% of the internet, in fact, probably are looking at porn right now while listening to us, which is pretty disturbing. But anyway.
We all know my sexy voice will get anybody there. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
Shane is gonna kill us, just for the record. Shane, you poor bastard, you gotta be in charge of editing this shit.
But anyway, it says, the industry, the California pornographic film industry turned on Thursday opposed regulations that would have forced actors to wear condoms, and in some cases, goggles, face shields, or rubber gloves when on camera. Boy, talk about a turnoff.
Jesus Christ. Why?
Eye safety.
For the kids? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
There's no way to talk about this without being uncomfortable. So you guys better just sit in. We're going to try and not gross you out completely. But let's face it, it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, hopefully this won't be in rated R. I mean, we're already past rated R. We're trying to skirt that to try to make this at least non-NC-17 at this point. So anyway. There are a lot of people who says that, if you got, it says Jesse Dubai, an actress wearing a form-fitting beige dress, told the board that if you guys don't want us here, we could take our business outside of California. Basically threatening to leave because of these, regulations. And they say regulations saves jobs, not destroys them.
I mean, the reality is, a lot of the things that they say need to be regulated, like, for example, porn stars should be wearing condoms, most already do. Or, at the very least, if they don't, they're regularly tested. And this is something that the private porn companies already do because they have vested interest in doing so.
To keep their actors and actresses healthy. And,
yes.
And such. So, yeah, you know, it's bad for business.
It's bad for business if every porn star under your care is going to get AIDS.
Yeah. That's not what's best for business.
No. Trust me, you don't need an authority to tell you that.
But anyway, yeah, it's, again, it's hilarious, that these, you know, people who want to keep regulating everything, they're regulating things that don't need to be regulated. And more often than not, it says that, you know, quote, I think I, Brad, Armstrong, one of the performers, in porn says, quote, the proposed rules, he said, were not only impossible to implement, they are impossible to enforce. So, in the end, it will probably kill some, you know, studios, and, well, next thing you know, less porn, or our people who are more, well, affiliated with the governments, or state government, will probably get more jobs and such, and you know how that goes.
I think the important lesson here is that regulation has come to a point where they're regulating something as basic as sex. And everyone says you don't want the government in the bedroom. Guess what? This is the government in the bedroom if you have a camera.
This is California. Most likely Democrats.
These aren't the hardcore conservatives in here. So it's not the Ted Cruz's or the Marco Rubio's.
And thank God it's not Chris Christie. Nobody wants to see him in this kind of situation.
Oh, goodness.
I've just scarred everybody in podcast land.
Oh, well.
Amazing. This is the first time I've been on this podcast this year, and this is the shit I'm giving.
Anyway. Savannah Fox says this, porn is a billion-dollar industry. It's not going to stop. And that is true. Because if you try to stop it, it will continue. Yeah, you know.
Everybody watches porn.
If you strike it down, it becomes more powerful.
Even if people end up making it themselves, there will always be porn.
Hi, I'm Dave. You may recognize me from previous Bogosity episodes. I'm also part of a podcast, the Superplex Brothers Podcast. Head on over to superplexbros.com. You can check out the podcast for video games and pro wrestling. We also have news, reviews, and editorials, and all kinds of stuff just to talk about video games and pro wrestling and everything else that comes in between. So if you're into that, why don't you come check us out?
If you're on the Wi-Fi in a coffee shop or hotel, anyone on that network can get your traffic. Do you really trust all of those strangers? For that matter, do you really trust your ISP? A VPN can protect you from prying eyes, disguise your location, and even foil government sensors. It's essential in this day and age, so go to vpn.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to BoxPN. Starting at just $2.99 a month, you can get unlimited high-speed connections to VPN servers all over the world, and they don't log connections, so your privacy is assured. Traveling abroad, just VPN home, and don't worry about what those other governments are doing. Back at home, stop your ISP from traffic shaping and messing with the quality internet access you're paying good money for. You can connect from multiple machines at once, including your smartphone or tablet, and it supports all the secure standards, including OpenVPN and SSTP. Bypass sensors and surveillance with your own secure VPN connection. Go to vpn.pagosity.tv.
Our final discussion of the day. We're going to talk about the latest thing going on YouTube. It originally started with Doug Walker with... He did an episode of The Nostalgia Critic where he created the hashtag WTFU, or Where's the Fair Use? And this all started because finally bigger channels started really feeling the effect of DMCA bullshit. And I want to just give credit where credit is due first. In Doug Walker's video, he did make a lot of great points. You know, he said a lot of things that were very true. Like, for example, he talked about how Hollywood has been trying to scare the shit out of everybody for years about innovations. Like, for example, television would be the end of movies. Tapes would be the end of movies and all that shit.
I remember that stuff, too. I remember the quote. It was from C-SPAN. One Hollywood guy showed up to the Congress, whatever, says, videotapes are like Jack the Ripper. And Hollywood's this poor, defenseless woman, and Jack, the VSS will kill it in the middle of the night. I'm like, I paraphrase, but I'm like, really? And meanwhile, how much money did Hollywood made off of VHS, by the way?
Yeah. And of course, YouTube is the latest installment of this, because everybody watches YouTube. I watch it, you watch it. Everybody watches YouTube, and some people even watch YouTube more than they watch regular television now. I'm one of them.
Same here.
Wait, what's television?
It's just the way technology is. And unfortunately for Hollywood, and for television as well, they don't necessarily like to go into the 21st century business model. They want to stick with what they've always known, and that's how they're always going to do things. So Doug Walker rightfully points that out. He also points out that YouTube in particular has a lot of problems, which it does. However, that is where he stops. He stops with YouTube. And doesn't understand that until the law is dead, this will continue to happen.
Which Team Four Star discussed the law?
Yes, they did discuss the law, thank God. But anyway, I kind of want to make the point here that this has been a problem on YouTube for years. I would even say almost a decade at this point. At the very least, since YouTube was bought out by Google in, like, what, 2008, 2009?
Yeah, I mean, this is stuff, the DMCA craziness has been... In fact, Shane, who hopefully just didn't destroy this podcast already, has actually made a video about this stuff way back then, about how horrible the DMCA was, you know. You gotta put a link in that, in the, description.
And he wasn't the only one. This has been a pro. Everybody's been talking about this. I don't know if you guys were really involved in, like, the YouTube video game community in 2009, but there was this huge controversy of a group of trolls going to all these Let's Play channels and getting them shut down. They were getting them all shut down, like Chugga Conroy was hit. I think Nintendo Capri Sun was hit. And a bunch of smaller channels like Bryce Ulf and Round the Wheel, they were hit as well. And the way they did this, too, was they essentially filed the DMCA, because anybody can file a DMCA. You can outright lie about who you are and file a DMCA. And YouTube, by law, has to automatically treat it as valid.
Yeah, the innocent is treated like the guilty. And I know there's other people who I know who I respect who are against this and saying what the values is, it's all about money, it's greed, and they're this big corporate. I'm like, dude, I told this again, and I will tell this 1,000 times, is that it is the law, it is always, copyright law always was against the smaller people. It's been directed since, like, from the days of the church trying to try to censor things. You know, they lobby governments and such. I mean, in fact, there's a video maker, Copy Me, actually said this brilliantly. You know, shout her out, because she actually does this as well. Talks about these types of subjects, about how, you know, how piracy or saying how that really doesn't really. It's not really the villain here. It's actually how pirates actually spend more money than actually the consumers who actually, go pirate the stuff. And says how copying, how copyright and the history of it and how screwed up it is.
I was going to get into all that, but then I never got to finish my story.
Oh, I'm sorry. I go all these tangents. I apologize.
Yes,
sir.
You do. And you said well probably about a good 15 times.
I am.
Within the span of seconds.
Don't crap, I'm probably going to get DMCA now.
Anyway, to finish my story. So because anybody can file a DMCA, what these people were doing is they were DMCAing these channels. And when you counter those DMCAs, you have to put your full name. And this means that the person who sent the DMCA gets your full name and information. So what these trolls were ending up doing is they would take the names of these people and then go on to file DMCAs against others, claiming that they were the people that they were originally filing DMCAs against. It was that bad, and it still is that bad. Nothing has changed in terms of the DMCA situation. It's just now nobody has actually gone to that level of full-blown assholishness without being a bot or something like that.
Yeah, in fact, there's still stuff that's happening right now. In fact, I believe,
Well, Teal Deer had a problem.
Yeah, Teal Deer had a problem with this stuff.
Sargon had a problem too. Sargon, who, this is probably the biggest irony of them all, he posted a quick video from, I think it was like Oxford or some kind of university thing. And hilariously, they're considered the last bastion of free speech.
Yeah. And then again, it's a college campus, so you know how that thing goes around these days.
To drive the point home, YouTube has a lot of things they need to fix. Absolutely. I agree with that. However, this is a symptom of a bigger problem. And the fact is that YouTube wouldn't have to go through this bullshit to protect themselves were it not for the absolutely outdated and shitty law that is the DMCA and arguably copyright as a whole. Because remember, copyright bullshit doesn't just happen on YouTube. It happens in businesses all the time. Look at patents. Patents are arguably some of the biggest excuses to eliminate competition there is.
Oh, yeah. In fact, it is one of the most egregious things. In fact, man, I need to look this stuff up because
there's a term already called patent trolls.
Yeah. It is so needlessly complicated for people to actually get, like, for example, the song to use in the movies. If you're a smaller production, it is way harder to do all these things legally instead of just, like, say, let me just do this, that, and the other. It takes you to file all this type of papers, doing all this type of things just to get this stuff corrected. It is the way how you get the copyright and everything else is beyond archaic. I have no idea why when internet became a thing, this should have been, like, people should have been looking, when videos started to become a thing, they should have looked at this and said, okay, what copyright is, we need to fix this thing to get these things situated.
Here's what I personally think they should do to fix copyright. Instead of having copyright being used as a means to stop other people from doing things, have copyright be an online or some kind of public listing of who originated what. That way, credit is given where credit is due, but at the same time, you aren't prevented from, let's say, taking a product and innovating it to make it better. That's what I think they should do. Copyright should be a public listing of who made what. Like, say, for example, let's say, Charles, that you build a widget that does some bullshit, and I find a way to build it at a much more cost-effective rate and to sell it at a much lower rate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, I finally got the story. Here from LA Times. It's just so horrible to actually buy the songs and stuff like that. They just have to basically want to buy a song, but it's so, the copyright office, an obscure century-old federal bureau, its response and all this stuff, it's became so hard to actually do something like that, to actually get the, go to the steps. It makes you to a point like saying, why should I do this? Or what? Just screw it. Just rip the song out there and do it anyway. It's, here's the thing right here. To find the records she needed, this, Eva Kempler, from the story. To find the records he needed, the documentary filmmaker who tells stories of Jewish heroes has to send someone in person to the copyright office headquarters in Washington to look through hard copies of old documents. She could hire a copyright office staff, but the charge is $200 an hour, and it takes at least 6 weeks to respond. Plus, what they turn up might be outdated because updated information must be submitted on paper, which can take more than 18 months to process.
Jesus H. Christ.
And you wonder why people just don't want to, they treat copyright stuff as a joke.
Well, the thing is, and this has been true forever, the way to fight piracy is to simply make the legal route easier. That's how it's always been. Make it more convenient to just pay for things legally, and people won't pirate.
Yeah. Maria Palente, the head of the copyright office, has been telling people what she just got. They're saying that we need to update. We need money to update this old law so actually to know, it's an old relic that operates out of a cramped office in the Library of Congress. That's what people are saying about the copyright office. They need to actually update or just get rid of it entirely or something like that. Cause if this is not going to be, if you're not going to update something like this, then why have it? Why respect copyright for a reason if you're not going to take care of it? If this is so important, if copyright is so important, why does it take so much and take so long to just get, like, for example, a song for a movie? Why does it take at least 18 months to process information?
To drive the point home, and to bring this back to where this conversation originally started, it's important to know that what people are doing on YouTube with these big campaigns like WTFU and Make YouTube Great Again, which is a cringy fucking hashtag, but just go with it. These people have the right idea. They're connecting all the dots, but they're painting the wrong picture. It's good to say, hey, YouTube, fix your shit. That's very important. But don't stop there. Because if you just stop there, it's never going to be fixed. Again, people have been fighting this for almost 10 years now. We've had this problem for almost 10 years. If you look up DMCA on YouTube, you will find videos that are 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old. You're going to find these videos. And in the end, just remember the battle doesn't end with just one thing. That is a symptom. Fight the disease itself. You've been listening to, I don't know, Shane usually has some kind of fancy thing here.
The Second Co-Hosted Invasion Podcast.
Yeah, that.
An episode so bad it makes the NWO version take over for WCW Nitro look like the greatest thing ever.
Nah, that, nobody will get that. Wrestling. Yeah, you're listening to... Well, you were listening to the Bogosity Podcast. We're going to end this shit show here. So anyway, I'm Dave. I'm here with the Duke CT, Charles.
Hello.
And, of course, some call him Jacob.
Others call me Buckface.
And next time, Shane will probably be back, and he'll probably tell us to never do this again.
The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License. Want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific, and never be taken in by creationists again.